This morning's scripture reading comes from the 20th chapter of John's Gospel. John chapter 20 will begin reading with verse 19 and read through the remaining part of the chapter. It was still the first day of the week. That evening, while the disciples were behind closed doors because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities, Jesus came and stood among them. He said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. When the disciples saw the Lord, they were filled with joy. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they aren't forgiven." Thomas, the one called Didymus, one of the 12, wasn't with the disciples when Jesus came. The other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But Thomas replied, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, put my finger in the wounds left by the nails, and put my hand into his side, I won't believe." After 8 days, the disciples were again in a house, and Thomas was with them. Even though the doors were locked, Jesus entered and stood among them. He said, "Peace be with you." Then Jesus said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. Look at my hands. Put your hand into my side. No more disbelief. Believe." Thomas replied to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." Jesus replied, "Do you believe because you see me? Happy are those who don't see and yet believe." Then Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the disciples' presence, signs that aren't recorded in this scroll. But these things are written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, God's Son, and that believing you will have life in His name. This is the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Can you imagine yourself being a gospel writer? Your assignment, if you choose to accept, is to tell the story of Jesus. Perhaps your attendance record in Sunday school and worship, or your familiarity with the basics of the story, bolster your confidence that maybe you are up for the task. I'm guessing that somewhere, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are a bit amused at any such presumptuous vainglory. I can imagine them chuckling and saying, "It ain't that easy." From the beginning, the story of Jesus has been a difficult story for anyone to tell. It's a story that offers plenty of drama, from the singing angels that filled the night sky at his birth to the voice of God thundering over the waters at his baptism, from his turning the water into wine to his walking on the water, from the imagery of his parables to his weeping in the garden, from the hosannas on Palm Sunday to the cries of "Crucify Him" on Good Friday, from the cross to the empty tomb. How can words or even images not only tell us the story, but capture the power and the promise that the story offers to us? It's a story that's too big for words. How do you tell such a story that is that big? Even if we could find words to describe the earthly life and ministry of Jesus, what about trying to capture the essence of his divinity? Or how do you wrap the story of Jesus up, bringing it to a fitting conclusion? How do you tell a story that has no end? The story itself seems to have many good, even dramatic endings. But just when you think you've heard the last of it, it keeps going. It's a story that could have ended on the cross. Rome thought it had, and so did the disciples of Jesus. In a story that could have ended with the disciples running scared, it's a story of betrayal, denials, and abandonment. A story of shattered hopes, disappointment, and disgrace. but for the loyal friends taking his body from the cross and placing it in the tomb, it could have ended there. That too would have been a dramatic ending. Roman soldiers placing a huge stone at the entrance of a tomb with a thug, a guard posted, assuring that this was the end of Jesus and the end of his story, the end without possibility of sequel. But this was a story that would not end. Not there, not yet. If it had ended there, it could have ended there, but for the faithful women who went to the tomb to anoint their Lord, only to find the tomb empty. Wouldn't that have made for a good ending? What a cliffhanger that would have left us with. But the angels were there, waiting to announce the resurrection. It might have been the end of the story if it had not been for that. The women leaving, overwhelmed with fear. Would the story end with a mere announcement of the resurrection by some angels without the Lord actually appearing to his followers? Would that ending have been enough for them to believe the story wasn't over? Some may have believed, others maybe not. Remember, that is where Mark's gospel account of the story originally ended. But this was a story that just would not end. Not there, not yet. This is a story that would not end before Jesus would appear to his scattered, frightened disciples. Not before he would show them his hands, his feet, his wounded side. Not before he would speak to them and say, "Peace be with you." Not before he would breathe on them, giving them the Holy Spirit, a spirit of power, of peace, and promise. Not before he had told his disciples that he was sending them as the Father had sent him. It seems to be the gospel writer's way of suggesting that maybe, just maybe, the story would not stop there. Not yet. John seems to have found a way to not get caught in the same fix that Mark got himself into in the earlier edition of the story. He tries to wrap up the story and still leave it open-ended with the masterful closing of chapter 21 of his gospel. He said, "Many other signs, therefore, Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these have been written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name." Many authorities suggest that this is the original ending of John's gospel. It is a good ending for a story, well worded. But John knew that this was not going to be the end of the story. And he was right. After penning this fitting ending, sometime later when the story kept going on and on, John chapter 21 was added, opening with these words, "After these things." It couldn't be helped. If you're going to tell this story, if you start singing the Easter song, you have to know that it's a song that doesn't end. It goes on and on, my friend. So in the rewrite of the ending of John's gospel, the closing words of John chapter 21 says this, "There are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they were written in detail, I imagine that even the world itself would not contain all the books that were written." I imagine more chapters and more books are still continuing to tell the story of Jesus, and they're still continuing to be written. I imagine the story of Easter is a story that doesn't end. I imagine that it goes on and on. I imagine that you and I are part of the Easter story. I imagine whenever we have stood wondering if we'd come to the end of our story, when all hope seemed to have been gone, when we were left with only our broken dreams, when there seemed to be no way to continue, and then somehow, some way, we were raised up to new hope and new life, when our story did not end there, but it went on. That is the moment we became part of the Easter story. Marcia Greer offers us these descriptive words, which all too often surmise where the plot has thickened in our own stories. When tears have streamed down our faces, when we have felt overcome with negativity, exhausted, and we are simply wiped out, when this world has gotten colder and human relationships more fragmented, when we are crying, when our bodies are wrought with tension, bearing the load of a world with little justice for the vulnerable and few rules for the powerful, when we don't know where to place this pain, this anger, and this sadness, when this is just too much. And then, out of nowhere, the nowhere which seems to have swallowed us alive, there comes to us a peace that only Christ can bring. I imagine that that is when we become part of the Easter story. I imagine that when we gathered last Sunday to sing our alleluias, we were a part of that story. Wouldn't that have been a good ending to the story? Our bells ringing, the choir singing, our children taking it all in wonder. Or how about that postlude? That would have been a good ending. It couldn't get any better than that. All heaven seemingly open before us. But the story wouldn't end there. Not yet. Because we're back today. Easter is a story that goes on and on, my friend. It's a story that is picked up every Sunday as we gather for yet another episode of the resurrection story, sharing where we have seen the presence and the power of the risen Lord with us this week. Hearts and eyes wide open, ready to encounter the presence of God's hope and comfort as we worship together. Yes, we're back today, the second Sunday of Easter, gathering again as an Easter people, picking up Easter's story, singing Easter song. Because this story, the Easter song, is an eternal song. It is a single story of unbroken verse, written upon our hearts by the Spirit of Christ. It is a story and a song that flows in cyclical fashion, repeated over and over, sung throughout time. A song to be sung on all of life's journeys as God opens a way before us where there had been no way. And the good news of the gospel is that this is not the end of the story either. This is a story that does not end. Not in one short week, not even in 50 days of the Easter season. This is a story that cannot end. If a cross could not end this story, if a stone in the entrance of a grave could not end this story, if fear and despair could not end this story, then I imagine with the Apostle Paul, we can be persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to end this story. For Easter is a story of the love of God in Christ Jesus, our risen Lord. And I imagine this is our story. Hallelujah.